To Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday already, February 21st, 2019, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And, you know, obviously it is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Inkley. We are all Road Warriors. That's the spirit, those who would esteem themselves to be. That's the spirit of the broadcast. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. And speaking of interesting and lively discussion, we're going to talk about perspective this morning. I mentioned that folks should be reading Machiavelli. There are a lot of things happening around the world, but they also happen here. They've been happening for a long time. The music industry obviously dovetails with that discussion. We'll talk more about that fun stuff today, but some perspective. We'll get some perspective on what I mean. And I agree with Jim in Illinois' remarks yesterday. We should study Machiavelli to sort of understand the machinations that are afoot. And this is the same discussion that's been had for hundreds of years. I go back to, you know, for instance, John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law from 1765, when he said there seems to be a subtle design on foot to enslave every American. And he described how it seemed to be the sort of impetus that was at work behind such a plot. And in 1993, Jim Traficant echoed that sentiment in Congress. So something seems to be going on here. And one of the things that happens is that in very Machiavellian fashion, paper tigers are created and, you know, false fronts and things of that nature. Contrived groups and events, whether people realize it or not. And a lot of times the reason it's such an effective and believable scheme is because people are drawn in without their foreknowledge. You know, maybe you have one person, and it's the same old strategy. That's why, again, Nesta Webster's words in World Revolution are so prescient. It's the same old game. And when you understand that people are generally naive, and you can effectively keep them naive from generation to generation, then you can keep playing this stupid parlor trick on people without, you know, unbeknownst to them, without raising their awareness. And that's exactly what she was talking about when she wrote, "It is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch." And so what you see happening over and over in the world is the continual remaking by degrees. And there is this confluence, not to get too, you know, again, not to get too far afield, but there is a sort of confluence of, you know, terminology and effort and these kinds of things. When you see, oh gosh, what's the term now? It's not iterating. I can't think of it. The technology term. Refactoring is what it is. In technology, you know, if you're familiar with agile development, the concept of agile development, refactoring is a term that, according to, you know, agile leader Martin Fowler's description, refactoring in technology terms is lots of small changes, none of which change the observable part of the software, but all of which change its internal structure. Usually you refactor because you want to make some new feature and the current internal structure doesn't fit very well for that new feature. So you change the structure to make the new feature easy to fit in, all the time refactoring and not breaking anything, and then you can put the new feature you want to put in, you can put it in. So that's refactoring. And when I think refactoring in social context, I think of Color Revolution, for example, because you have these small changes that don't necessarily change the structure of government, for example, but they're changing society in deep and profound ways, unbeknownst to most of the unwitting folks who get conscripted to this devil's errand. And so, again, you start to think of Hayek's Road to Serfdom and how he talks about the termination of the revolution, you know, socialism, chapter 2, the great utopia, and how that's what socialism is. You have Marxism on one hand, which is the revolution, the raised fist, workers of the world unite, getting people all stirred up, and before you know it, there's a mob, a lynch mob, you know, and what happens, I've mentioned it before, the textbook outworking of the lynch mob. The lynch mob never accomplishes anything good. They run off into the night, into the dark, looking for someone to hang, and sure enough, by morning, by dawn, someone's been hanged, and it's usually the wrong person, or there's some sort of misprison or miscarriage of justice in the process. That's what mobs do. And, you know, in analogous terms, socially what ends up happening after the dawn breaks, after the Marxist revolution, is people say, kind of like when you hang somebody, well, you know, what's done is done. We can't do anything about that now. No sense crying over spilled milk. Might as well move forward. Onward, forward, even though they're not learning the lessons from their foolish mistake. Maybe they should pause for a moment, because obviously rushing headlong didn't serve them well. But they don't learn the lesson, and then they try to press on to assuage their troubled conscience. Better that we step back and not be conscripted to the devil's errand, lest we have to assuage our troubled conscience for something that we didn't even think up ourselves. It was an errand from the devil that we should never have been involved in, if that makes sense. And so then comes in socialism. You know, here's, you know what, we just happen to have a plan in the drawer, kind of like we were talking about, gosh, was that yesterday? I think that was 2 days ago, wasn't it? Rhonda in Missouri, I think. We're talking about, you know, how that works. So I think it was Rhonda in Missouri, you know, a local situation and the measles nonsense. And look, we have a perfectly good crisis. We better not let it go to waste. So, you know, like I said, when we were talking about it, the arsonist's mantra, as I always refer to it, Rahm Emanuel, you know, you never want a perfectly good crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do something you think you could not do before. Really? An opportunity? Your house is on fire. Yeah, well, now is a good time. You know, we could. How can we spend the insurance money? Arsonists think that way. Don't be conscripted to that aberrant thought process, that criminal thought process and behavior. So socialism comes in and says, hey, you know what? We can fix this. And remember, it's a reordering of society and clamping down along seemingly arbitrary lines, and because of a coercive spiritual sort of imposition, this is what ends up happening. And this happens over and over and over around the world. We see it, you know, if you're paying attention, people see it. You can see it overseas in several places, but to me, profoundly ironic that many of the people who are paying close attention to that don't seem to perceive the observable phenomenon in their own backyard. And so we're going to talk about all of that today. We're going to talk about, you know, we're going to get a little perspective. And to understand all of this, we're going to look at some instances of this, and it's happening, you know, around the world and in our own backyard. So we'll talk about that. We'll get some perspective. And so first we're going to start, we'll go back in history a little bit, and we'll see you'll hear sort of allusions to the Laurel Canyon counterculture scene, because, you know, speaking of color revolution, by the way, music is a very instrumental and effective weapon in color revolution, you know, for mimetic warfare and thematic elements, for obvious reasons. So some interesting things that have happened, and then some efforts, I would say, that maybe are genuine but have been subverted or otherwise essentially dead-ended. So, speaking of perspective, let's start out with this. Ever since the Club of Rome published The Limits of Growth back in 1972, followed by the first global revolution, which, you know, The Limits of Growth led to eventually the first global revolution. The first global revolution. See, this again gets back to what I've been saying about vaccines earlier this week. Can we just have an honest conversation from now on about this nonsense, this global warming nonsense, the threat of global warming? That's what it is. It's all it is a threat that was cooked up, and that was what the Club of Rome, they said it. Limits of Growth led to the first global revolution. We have to basically say that, you know, they weren't, these stupid people, they weren't getting it when Darwin published On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So what are the favored races, and who decides in the struggle for life, you know? By Means of Natural Selection. But when that doesn't go fast enough, or The Preservation of Favored Races, who decides? Which is why any time that you find someone who is a hardcore, ardent Darwinist, they're also a eugenicist. And there are lots of people we should just sterilize, or, you know what, let's just kill them because life would be so much better. My response to that is, okay, let's start with you. Why don't we just start with you? Because, you know, the rest of us stupid people are getting along pretty well. It's people like you that cause the trouble. These people that you're telling me and that you're telling them are a problem, well, we don't seem to have a problem with each other. I don't bump into them, and they're not giving me a hard time. I'm not giving them a hard time. But you're telling both of us that, you know, you're telling him I'm the problem and me, he's the problem. Seems to me you're the problem. You're the troublemaker. Maybe we should get rid of you first. What do you think? Or we could just end all of this getting rid of people talk. That might be it, you know. Anyway, The Limits of Growth, 1972, followed by the first global revolution in 1991. So I think, like I was saying, you know, about the vaccine stuff, you know, you have to, you know, vaccines may, you know, I feel like I'm going to start responding like Chris Wallace to Susan Rice. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. To underscore the absurdity of these kinds of propaganda stunts that people have bought into. Adam Weishaupt, Spartacus, allegedly said, "Oh, foolish man, what can you not be made to believe?" Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Back. All right, so the limits of growth, first global revolution. Honestly, when you hear climate change, global warming, I mean, maybe we should just every time I should carry around a little pocket recorder or keep the soundbite on my phone. And by the way, speaking of all of the propaganda that we're marinating in constantly, does anyone ever think about how absurd it is that, you know, kind of like climate science, when science is stuck on the back end of some pseudoscience topic, which obviously isn't really science at all, not truly, not in the orthodox sense, is what I mean. do we all understand how absurd it is? You know, when you hear that smart is stuck on the end of smartphone, smart home, smart TV, smart home, smart car, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's absurd. Compare it to nature and see how foolish it sounds. You know, if I said, have you seen my smart tree? Have you seen my smart creek or creek, depending on where you are? Or, you know, my smart grass, it grows all by itself. It's absurd. It's foolish. And it really sort of punctuates how foolish and arrogant man can be sometimes. I digress. So, the Olympics of Growth, 1972, followed by the First Global Revolution, where the Club of Rome basically tells, you know, Alexander King, Bertrand Schneider, tell mankind in Darwinist fashion that, you know, it's your breath. Hey, mankind, it's your breath. It's killing the planet. Never mind the fact, you know, logically, can I just plant a tree? Oh, no, that causes greenhouse. Well, not exactly. I mean, no. And another absurd sort of mind trick, in my opinion, is data. You know, the data doesn't seem to support that conjecture. And, you know, the use, again, just to digress for a moment, the use of data in a plural format always feels like a mind trick to me. It feels like it's part of a mind trick that's being played, you know. The data are not showing, well, your use of data in a plural format are confusing to me. So anyway, again, I digress. So the limits of growth, the First Global Revolution, I believe that the response to people who say, you know, global warming, climate change, should be you don't believe that. Chris Wallace, you know, you don't believe that. Well, you've read The Limits of Growth and The First Global Revolution, understand the threat of global warming. You've seen James Corbett's Big Oil series. He talks about how we had electric transportation, public transportation, and you see it in the movies, you know. I mean, watch Bullet, for example. The legendary car chase scene through a town that used to be famous for its electric public transportation system. That was nationwide. That was 100 years ago. And now Tesla, oh my goodness, it's such an amazing thing. Nah, not really. You know, back when, you know, hemp was a source of fuel or even water, you know, I mean, hydrogen combustion engines, that's not a new thing. That's technology that's over 100 years old. So we should be having these conversations, and folks should be, I think, the absurdity of the fraud of global warming, the threat of global warming and climate change should be pointed out. And then, of course, while you're having that discussion now, John Brennan's done us all a favor. You know, well, we can, you know, stratospheric aerosol injection. We can, you know, it only costs $10 billion to spray the plant. Maybe it's less than that, $2.5, $3.5 billion. I mean, it's really cheap. Yeah, you've been doing it for a long time. Long time. So now it's not a secret anymore. It's public information. Not that it ever was a secret. Because some of us remember, again, that you go skiing in the 70s as a, you know, as a child in the 70s, I remember the resort saying, hey, we're going to make it snow. We're going to seed the clouds and we'll have snow this afternoon and tomorrow, fresh snow. I was in the 70s. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. You know, do you ever wonder if the bank heists of the, well, you know, around the Federal Reserve era were cooked up to, you know, in similar sorts of moments were cooked up to lead people to believe that this specious currency had more, you know, to sort of legitimize the illegitimate, to create the perception that it had more value than it actually had. It doesn't have any value these days. The Federal Reserve even admits that the Federal Reserve note has no value. Has no value. It's not backed by anything. But it has purchasing power. And there is a distinction. So we conflate them typically in our minds. Those of us who are not international economists like Paul Krugman speaking at world economic summits and things like that. But, you know, the G30 member, longtime group of 30 member, Paul Krugman, the New York Times mouthpiece. Anyway, I think about stuff like that. So let's press on, shall we? The Club of Rome cooked up the limits of growth, which was followed by the first global revolution. I think that the response to the threat of global warming and climate change and all the other related nonsense should be, the appropriate response should be, you don't believe that, like Chris Wallace, and when people are outraged, which they undoubtedly will be, the uninformed will be, you know, proper response should be, well, the Club of Rome published the book in 1991, The First Global Revolution, in which the point was made in several places in the book that we are the enemy. Man is his own greatest enemy because he breathes. And so now we're going to give the world a new enemy. That's what they said. Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, in the book that the Club of Rome essentially published. And ever since, we've seen, and you know, the following year, Maurice Strong's 1992 Rio Earth Summit call for a rewilding of the entire North American continent, returning to pre-Lewis and Clark era population distribution. And for those of us who have been alive and watched that, there are some folks in the Forest Service, for example, who've heard directives and been given certain directives, and they can validate and attest to the fact that this is a real thing. This has really been happening. It wasn't that long ago that, you know, everyone in the government agency didn't have a gun. It wasn't that long ago, in fact, that even the FBI was crying, oh, there are criminals everywhere. We need guns. But you know what? Again, were they creating the criminals that they ostensibly needed to catch? Trevor Aronson's TED Talk is not a new entry to the discussion. It's just sort of the next chapter in the same old story. So the limits of growth led to the first global revolution, and immediately following, we have Maurice Strong's 1992 Rio Earth Summit call for a rewilding of the North American continent, returning to pre-Lewis and Clark era population distribution. We've heard about the specious threat of global warming over and over. You know, we can't, again, the rampant and pervasive nature of propaganda. And when I think about that, again, I think of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth. And it's not just the end of truth. That sounds so sort of trivial. It sounds so, you know, almost comical. But you read how he articulates, and it's profound. You understand the overwhelming effect of the gaslighting. So we've heard about that. We've heard the threat of global warming. We've seen the other Bernaysian styled propaganda campaigns along the same lines, like the ostensible benefits of vaccines, which I've been talking about this week. And again, the fabrication of data. You know, you see. I mean, I go back to Mark Twain's reference to Benjamin Disraeli and what was going on back then, the same discussion, the same Malthusian discussion. And, you know, that's where we get the quote on statistics. There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Because you can torture the data. You know, if you torture it enough, you can get it to sing any tune that you want it to sing. That's what happens in the, for example, the autism discussion. So, you know, We've seen the fabrication of data to belie the explosion of autism cases and rates in recent years. No, it's just because we weren't tracking it. No. Just stop. Okay? Again, Chris Wallace, you don't believe that. So for further perspective, for further reference and perspective, here are some fun facts. You know, along with the threat of global warming, we hear about the, you know, water. Oh my goodness, there are droughts and things. Well, never mind the fact that the weather is being engineered. And folks who don't know need to go back and listen to Senator Claiborne Pell back in the 70s saying, well, you know, since we can create hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and things, we don't need treaties anymore. I think that was 1975, somewhere around there. Or go read the Space Preservation Act of 2001, H.R. 2977, sponsored by Dennis Kucinich, immediately following 9/11. I wonder why. And so there's related fun stuff we'll talk about in a minute. But note to self. So for further reference on this, you know, we hear about water, you know, there's a scarcity. We hear about, you know, bad guys are always trying to tell us what the next problem is they're creating so that then they can reorder society, again, along hierarchical lines with a coercive spiritual imposition. Hayek, The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 2. Sometimes you have to create the crisis, you know? You have to engineer it. Remember, problem, reaction, solution. But it's really not. That's a disingenuous way to look at it. It's solution, problem, reaction, solution. It's goal setting. You know, we have this goal. What can we, you know what, if we could just sort of, again, lie hop, you know, let it happen on purpose, high hop, help it happen on purpose, my hop, make it happen on purpose, whatever the case, I hop, it happened on purpose. So if we could just sort of engineer or, you know, create a vacuum and allow this thing, then, you know, it would, and then we could use the press, obviously, because freedom of the press is guaranteed to those who own one. We could use the press to, you know, sort of foment a reaction to this, a contrived reaction. We could pay a bunch of protesters. We could go to Crowds on Demand and buy a bunch of people to show up at an event, you know, and use some media coverage. I mean, there will actually be people downtown, you know. We can pay a few people, Crowds on Demand, to show up. And I know it sounds crazy, right? I mean, I must be making up crowdsondemand.com, right? Hire demonstrators for PR events. Your home for protests, rallies, advocacy, audiences, PR stunts, and political events. Services available nationwide. You know, so we could do that. We could foment a reaction. People will actually see. No, what are you saying? That, you know, there were actually people downtown. Sure, go ask them how much they were paid to be there. There was actually news coverage. Right. You remember when Bernays called the media ahead of the parade to say that, you know, women were going to be lighting torches of freedom? You guys might want to be there. Something big might happen. How does the media, you know, and then again, you know, people find out along the way, this is what you're just a stooge. But, you know, you're a hero in the media. You got a good job. You're well paid. You're a well paid house Negro, if I may, you know, well paid, probably fight to defend your kidnapper even. And you find out that you're just a stooge because you're getting tip from, you know, you're getting tip after tip from Deep Throat, basically, and you're just a stooge in this little game. You're just a cog in a wheel. But what are you going to do? You know, you can't do anything about it. We've played the Richard theme clip suddenly you back up and you see, as you look, it's this vast conspiracy, and you're just a little tiny flea in all of it. What are you going to do about it? And if you try to publish an article, by the way, you know your editor-in-chief is, he's our man. So what are you going to do? No one will believe you, and you probably have an accident anyway. What's the latest thing that I saw? Speaking of that, the ridiculous story yesterday. Does anybody believe this stuff? And I realize I'm sort of jumping around, but hopefully this all makes sense. So let me find that real quick, because it's a good example of the kind of nonsense that I'm talking about. The lieutenant, the Navy lieutenant, you know, he's planning in secret, only not, you know, publicly in secret, to do something bad, targeting lots of Democrats. I mean, it's so ridiculous, you know. Not to trivialize or marginalize tragedy, but, you know, the baseball event had, you know, there was a Manchurian candidate who actually did something. Guy living in his van who just happens to be able to travel across, you know, a long distance, you know, take time, living in his van to go shoot up a Republican baseball game. Anyway, the latest incident, I think to keep people in line, but who knows? The Fox News story published yesterday, Coast Guard lieutenant dubbed domestic terrorist had hit list of media bigs and Dem lawmakers, prosecutors. So U.S. Coast Guard Lieutenant Christopher Paul Hassan, 49 years old. The guy's a 49-year-old lieutenant? That's kind of odd, don't you think? And they've been watching him for 2 years? As far as I understand it, so a 49-year-old Coast Guard lieutenant. I mean, first of all, have you ever heard of such a thing? A 49-year-old lieutenant? Something is, I mean, that's like a huge red flag. Huge. On weapons and drug charges, is a white nationalist. We keep hearing this garbage. You know, we, Terry McAuliffe was, on, we'll probably get to that. He was on Face the Nation the other day with Margaret Brennan, which is ridiculous. And so you've seen a lot of this stuff. Speaking of what I'm talking about, it's kind of fomenting of nonsense. Oh, white nationalist. He had a hit list. Democratic lawmakers, et cetera, et cetera. Media personalities. And, you know, he's doing it in secret, but he's searching on his work computer, you know, government computer, sending emails and stuff, and it's just totally in secret. So, you know, who believes any of this? Again, Chris Wallace, you don't believe that. I mean, over and over, you know, from the top down, you got mainstream news telling people for months and months and months and months and months, the FBI is corrupt from the head, you know, and from the highest levels down to, you know, the most whatever influential, you know, subordinate ranks, I guess, however you want to say that. And people will say, oh, you know, you hate those men and women. That no, there are some people that are trying to do genuinely good things. Again, go listen to Richard Thieme at DEFCON 26 and what happens when someone actually tries to do something good. Now, there are too many people in the executive branch, in the White House in particular, that are benefiting from cocaine trafficking. So, you know, we can't stop that. So we hear over and over corruption in the FBI, or back to Benghazi. You know, the White House, the White House, the Oval Office, everybody is... And that's probably, you know, that's probably a, what do you call it? A flashbang, essentially. Something, you know, misdirection. But we have email evidence of the White House cooking up a false narrative that was proven false. And yet, people just buy into this nonsense over and over. It's astonishing. So here's another entry. Anyway, let's stay on track, shall we? Get back on track. So, you got to take all of this stuff with a grain of salt that we see, you know? And a lot of, when you see the fomenting of conflict, that, you know, if you look close enough, just seems way too convenient. The timing of things, the forces, the people who don't seem to have a dog in the fight, why are they showing up? The question should always be, qui bono, who benefits? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back. Not a Tony Bennett fan, but, you know, it's a great song. What do you think would happen if we all started having a love affair with history and our own local area? And stop. You know, it's interesting how I guess, addicted the general public has become to the, you know, sensationalized news stream. You know, you look back at before the CNN era, you know, when Walter Cronkite would sign off or whatever, it's different. Very different. And, you know, of course, there's a very cozy relationship between the media and Hollywood, if there's even a separation, you know, because I really, my conjecture is that the CIA really, you know, it's all just a, you know, an agency sponsored psyop. There's so much evidence to support that conjecture, but I'm not going to go down that path right now. So to sort of get back on track about perspective, about, you know, points of reference, we've heard a lot about the threat, the specious threat of global warming. And with that always comes, you know, water. Bad guys want to steal riparian rights. They've been doing it for a long time. I've talked on this broadcast a number of times. You've seen it in your area, I'm sure. If we're not fluoridating the water, we're stealing riparian rights, or maybe both, who knows. So along those lines, for further reference and perspective, here's some additional perspective from Montana Trivia by Janet Spencer, published in 2005. So this is post 9/11 stuff. From page 47, of all the water used in Montana, what percentage is used for irrigation? You know, and you probably, I mean, this is just one state, so, you know, people hear different things. But again, getting back to the fudging of numbers and things to support specious claims and so on and so on, people would probably believe, you know, it's a low percentage. Montana isn't known as a particularly agrarian state. So of all the water used in Montana, what percentage is for irrigation? It's 96%. Compared to 1.8% for domestic purposes. And so when you hear that, you kind of go, oh, well, I guess, you know, maybe things aren't quite as bad as we're led to believe. You know, that's kind of interesting. And, you know, similarly, in 1960, Norman Jeff Holter of Helena, remember Gary Cooper was from Helena, sort of, that's, you know, sort of, invented what currently used medical device for which he never accepted any money. So in 1960, Norman Jeff Holter of Helena invented what currently used media device, or excuse me, medical device, for which he never accepted any money. I'll give the answer to that on the other side of this break. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.